So this was a follow-up to last week. If you weren't here, it's your opportunity to ask questions. If you were here, and hope, you know, if you want clarification to a question, you know, I guarantee I can't answer as well as David did last week, but I'll try. And if you have any questions for the board, either I'll answer or defer to someone else. And if you have any search committee questions, AJ is here to represent the search committee. So I guess let's open in prayer and then we can get started. So, Lord, we thank you once again for Salem Bible Church. We thank you for this congregation. It's your church. We're your congregation. Pray that we could keep our eyes and hearts focused on you throughout this process, that it's a learning experience, and pray that we would learn from it. And thank you for this day and what you have in store. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, the website had our question and answer except for the last 20 minutes. And then we sent out the search process. And my notes from that 20 minutes that was missing got sent out. And so we're opening this up to see any other questions that someone might have. I'll just start with one that was posed to me at the end of the service last week as a place to start. And that is, what happens if we engage Vander Blumen and then somebody comes along outside of Vander Blumen? And the answer to that is, we would refer them to Vander Blumen because of the thoroughness of their process. At that point, if we've decided to use them, we would have that person go through their process before coming back to us. So that's how we would handle that. Who's next? That was Donnie Martin's question, by the way. Well, yeah, maybe that is everybody. We had 39 last week and 28 this week, so that's 60, 70 people. No, I'm just kidding. No. Well, we aren't much bigger than that. If you count up the roster right now, we're between 60 and 70 maybe. And some people it doesn't suit. Last week, there was a lot of people that it didn't suit. And then this week, I know Nick's on vacation. Last week, there were a lot of other people on vacation. So I think people care. We're still here. So that's why, because we do care.
I just have one question. Does the committee feel that they've exhausted all their resources and hopes of locating someone on their own versus consultants?
Well, I'll let AJ answer that, but I mean, I would say you never have exhausted all your resources and hopes.
Yeah,
but sorry. This is being recorded in case someone else needs to listen to it, but it won't be on the website. It'll just be recorded in case someone needs to hear it. So Frank's question is, does the search committee feel that they've exhausted all their resources? AJ.
I'll step up to the mic. I don't think that we've taken all of our resources and exhausted them. I think that from the search committee, our perspective is that our goal is to find a pastor that suits the church as quickly as possible. And when we look at the pace that we've been going, we go through a candidate or two, go through that process. It hasn't worked out. And so that's another 6 months. And how long can we sustain that pattern before we're not, as a committee, we're not doing what's best for the church? I mean, the church needs a pastor and needs a spiritual leader. And so our goal is to get someone in front of the church who is doing that spiritual role. And so they would greatly assist us in getting through a broader number of candidates at a faster pace so that we can do the detailed granular work that we do at the end of it with candidates that are more likely to be the right fit for here than what we get through the few channels we have already established. In the case of Vanderblumen, they're going through such a broad spread to try and pick the one or two people from each location that might be a fit for us, bringing them all together, going through the whole list, and then saying, of these, how many would be the best fit? And then, you know, five or six of them come to us. And we get to go through them like we would any of our previous candidates and say, is this person a good fit for the role that we need them to fill, which is to spiritually lead the church? So have we gone through all the resources? No. Those resources come up every 6 months as a new set of graduates graduate. But how long can we as a church sustainably continue along without that pastoral role being filled by someone dedicated to that role? And I think that's where we're trying to draw the balance. We're all still here for the most part, but how long do we keep this up? And is it good stewardship of the resources the church has and of our process to continue dragging out that process on our resources alone if we can bring in something that would greatly expedite the process? And that's really the balance that we're trying to strike.
Wait, you did a really good job. Just stay up here.
I'm going to grab my water bottle.
Okay. Next question. Susie. Yeah, it's a very broad question. After this meeting, the board will meet and review a proposed church survey. Oh, thank you. I don't know if I can repeat all that, but do we really need a full-time pastor? How long can we afford a full-time pastor? So what I'm saying is after this, the board will meet and review a survey which is proposed by the search committee to go out to the church. Part of that is your question. Do you guys just want to be taught or do you want to grow? And what are you looking for in a pastor? And it's because they had prepared this back in August, and then Vanderblumen also was proposing a survey. So Vanderblumen gave us their template, you know, free of charge. There's, you know, we're not obligated to them. So we adapted their template to what the search committee already had made. It's a 4-page survey. Some of it's just multiple choice. And then some of it is open questions for you to answer. If there's, even to the extent of, you know, if there's some question you're afraid to ask and debate in a group setting like this, you can ask it on this survey. So as long as the board approves that survey, then that'll go with you. At the end of the day today, we'll have it copied and ready to go, you know, by the time you leave today, to answer a lot of those questions. But more specifically, I don't think we're at 60, but if we are, I mean, even David indicated that churches our size are probably 35 to 40. That's actually less than we were planning to pay. It's less than what we've become accustomed to paying. And I know we're down right now because of what we've been going through. But I would estimate that if we hired a pastor and created a deficit of 10 to 20,000 a year because we don't have enough, he would easily have, our congregation would easily have 5 to 10 years to get back to that giving level before we would be in trouble. And Rick Martin asked me to explain, because it sounds like a lot of money. But right now, we are uncommitted general fund, not counting benevolent fund. We're at $140,000. Some people would say it's irresponsible for a church to be holding on to that much money and not doing anything with it. So all the big money, all the big expenses are paid. Giving has far exceeded expenditures because we're not paying the senior pastor. Even if we paid Vanderbloom and our expenses, if we called that senior pastor expense for this year, our expenses would be less than what we had budgeted. But because it's not going to a salary, we're asking you as a congregation to weigh in on that decision. So, did I answer your question? Or did I talk around it? Ask it again.
Yeah. There's so many facets of it.
There's a lot of facets.
I just think that, you know, if we don't grow the church, I mean, look at it, we're all white caps. Al and I don't have the resources we had 5 years ago before we retired. We've got health issues, we've got mobility issues, and it's only going to get worse in the next 5 to 10 years.
Right. Yeah, a little bit of this is trusting God, you know.
And I'm not putting him in a box because he can do anything. But I just, you know, we've got our financial commitment to our missionaries. You know, if we go down, they'll go down with us, or the money gets divided.
Right. I mean, the way we've been managing that is our missionaries, you know, especially with the general fund growing the way it is, our missionaries have gotten everything. They come first. So building fund has 70 or 80,000 above and beyond what I mentioned. So as a church, we're up there, you know, close to 200,000, close to $250,000 of funds. Right. Including that, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Balances today. Everything's been paid, and that's where we're at. It's not like we have, $40,000 or $50,000 over here for something else. You know, we have those balances, and we have more coming in each week, and the expenses are below budget, way below budget. Al? Thank you. What will a full-time pastor do other than 1 hour on a Sunday morning? I don't know. You know, call on them to do whatever your heart desires. We would expect them to come in with a little bit of excitement and vision of their own. And part of our search process will be not to bring in the person who wants to, you know, take on the world, because we're not ready for that, but somebody who's a little bit more energetic than where we're at today, yeah, maybe. And the church survey will allow you to elaborate on where you'd like to see us go, because we don't know. Some people are intimidated to speak up in this setting, and we wouldn't have enough time this morning to go through everybody's input on that.
So in essence,
That's very much a chicken and egg question. It's very hard for a pastor to accept a position without a vision already set, but it's very hard for the church to set a vision without knowing what pastor we've got coming in. I mean, we're in the process right now of refining what's called a mission statement as a board. We'll probably do that at the next meeting. And it's very simply, as in as simple a statement as possible, what is our church? What are we, what do we do? Anybody else? Oh, Diane.
To dovetail on Al's question, and I don't pretend to be aware, so that's why I'm asking, is there any kind of a stigma of any kind attached to a poster who only aligns themselves to a church part-time? As I understand, that wasn't a problem for John, if I'm correct in that. So I'm wondering, would it hurt us at all to model our next selection after what we've already experienced?
I would. What's wrong with a part-time pastor? It was successful for the last 40 years. We're not very demanding. I would say if the right person comes along and they want to have a full-time job on the side, and that may work fine. We're not saying that won't work, but that person hasn't come along. What we're saying is these people have the tools to broaden the search, bring qualified candidates in, and get the search committee to the final stage of picking out of 3, 4, 5 qualified candidates, or rejecting them all and telling them to go back and do it again and bring us another slate of people. But what I would say is John was able to do what he did because of his training and knowledge at the professor level at Lancaster Bible College, not because he just came out of seminary. We don't know if that person's out there to match what we've had for the last 40 years. What?
The other thing with that is that Vander Blumen will only do a search for a full-time candidate. We talked briefly in our meeting with them on Saturday, with Dave Fanton on Saturday night. Would you do a search for a part-time pastor? And they said that they would have to review the terms on that, and they'd have to get very particular about their contract with us, because their contract is with the church, not with the pastor in any way. And so their contract with the church would have to be very particular, and we'd have to see, the phrase goes, the devil's in the details. If we were truly intent on pursuing that, pursuing a bivocational pastor, we'd have to go back to Vander Blumen and say, this is what we'd be looking at. Are you willing to work with us on this? And they can choose to say yes or no. So at this point, with regard to the full-time pastor, Vander Blumen would say, yes, we'll search for that immediately. With regard to the part-time, they're saying, we'd have to look at the details.
But it's very hard to define that ahead of time. If in the end our compensation package doesn't allow a person to be full-time and they want to have another job on the side, that'll get negotiated later on. I mean, but they have to be able to do the job. We're not going to pay somebody and have them so busy. You know, if someone has small kids, we don't know if that person's going to have small kids. Someone has a full-time job. Some jobs require overtime. They got small kids. And it could be asking too much for someone to be pastor in that setting. We don't know.
I think we're also saying that, going back to the surveys we've done with Corey, that church members are saying, we want a little more than just a Sunday sermon. We want our church to be developed. We want more maybe pastoral care. There are other things that we want to see the pastor doing that go a little beyond maybe what we've had. People are asking for that. So that means more than just Sunday morning doing a sermon,
right? Funerals, whatever. Yeah, and you'll have an opportunity to express that again on this survey. Judy, I'm picking everyone over my wife. I'm going to get me in big trouble. All right, Susan. Susan. It was. Yeah. We saw this. I can remember. You know, I'm as tight with money as anybody, probably tighter. But I can remember 10 years ago saying, "Why are we increasing the salary 3% every year?" And at that time, I wasn't treasurer yet. I was assistant. So I was reminded that we have to keep our expected spending at a level that allows us to bring somebody new in someday. We can't just have it stay where it's at. Because John always tried to turn down his increases. So. Karen, Judy was first. Right, right. Yeah, I agree. Compulsory involvement in the church. I'm not for that, but it's an interesting concept. Karen. I didn't really detect that it was a question, but what is it that would stop us from needing a full-time pastor or from wanting a full-time pastor? And I think it's all of the above. What Karen expressed is it financial, or is it that we just don't need the person's time? I would say it's probably both. I don't know if anyone wants to weigh in on that, but you will have an opportunity in the survey to weigh in on that. I would say some people probably can't see a if we've been in this church all our lives, we may not be able to see a church that has enough activity for a full-time pastor. It may not be something that we can envision. You know, being involved in a church is, it's very much, you can come, attend, go home, and it doesn't feel like it takes much time. Or you can get pulled in and be involved, and before you know it, you feel like it takes, boy, this takes a lot of time. So it's really, really interesting. You can have those two sides of the spectrum, and it, you know, you can drift from one side to the other pretty easily. Question? Can, oh, John.
I think we have a really unique situation here. How many churches do you know where they have the pastor, the senior pastor works a job outside the church, besides the church? I can't think of any. And that's a unique situation for us.
I mean, yeah, I don't know personally, but it's reportedly it's pretty widespread. Yeah, pastors are paid horribly in general, and a lot of them make money on the side. We don't necessarily want to require that, but a lot do. And sometimes it's just because the financial condition of the church requires it. Ken was trying to ask a question. You know, I've been involved in the finance committee. Maybe it's my fault. I've been involved now for, you know, since 2003, 2004. So, but we have a history of over-promising, under-promise, over-deliver. Depends on how you look at it. We budget high, we come in low, and giving has, there's been only been 1 year since I've been on the treasury, in the treasury area, that we have undergiven what we've spent. So I wouldn't look at it like we're ripping off God. I would look at it like we don't know how to budget. Should we budget high and come in low, or should we budget low and come in high? I mean, it's, I don't know the right answer. You know, it, what I can tell you, I mean, I've heard it firsthand, there are people giving their money elsewhere because we have so much sitting there doing nothing. I've heard that. So.
Well, I've heard that too, that some people are giving more to missionaries.
So, exactly. And we don't know that, and only God knows, and we, you know, this is a place where we trust Him. I mean, if we need the money, it'll either be there. If it's not, it's by His design. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like speed limit. Yeah. Bill?
And we're not really under budget. Paper and library, one of those at the top, not bottom. And we're trying to get that under budget. And so we had a family come in with 5 children, 7 children, or a couple of families. How would we take care of those children in terms of teachers? And how would we be in a position to be able to handle growth in the church with the general age of the congregation and our numbers? I guess those are some things we can look at, but it'd be example of having a family here where we needed teachers. Do we have teachers to meet that need?
Is that a question? How do we handle the attraction of small children, families with small children? I don't know, but it'd be exciting, wouldn't it? So, I think we have plenty of teachers. It's a matter of dusting off the material and seeing who wants to step up and setting a schedule and people getting involved. Like I said before, the more you get involved, the more attracted you are. You know, you can turn around quickly from being uninvolved to being involved. It happens. So, Lori.
When we started this process 3 years ago, we had a congregational meeting where we broke into little groups and gave different options. One was, should we close down Salem? Should we merge with the church? Should we remember when we did that? So I'm wondering, the survey that you're looking to hand out, are those options still on the table? Or the other question with that is, last week Vander Blumen said that most of their candidates were already employed. So does Vander Blumen work with a group where they would take a pastor from another church and merge it with ours? I'm just asking options.
Yeah.
If they're already employed, would they have people coming with them?
It's certainly, so the question is, when we did the congregational meeting, mini meetings, there were other options discussed such as shutting down the church, merging the church, where do we want to go? And if Vander Blumen brings in pastors who are already employed, would it lead to a merger? Would they bring people with them? I don't really know how to answer that. I think certainly any pastor who's commuting comes locally would have the potential to bring people with them if they like that pastor from their previous church, and like the dynamic here, then that's certainly a possibility. I don't think Vander Blumen would go out looking for a merger type opportunity. Could it happen? I don't know. So are those questions in this survey? The question of do we want to shut down the church is not in this survey. We don't expect that if you had felt that way, you wouldn't be here. And so, and merging is not in here. It's all about, the sections are, it's about you, about the church, about the future pastor, what you want to see, and then there's open questions. And then there is will you approve the funds or not for this Vander Blumen? So that's all in there. Name is optional. So, if you ask a very challenging open question, please add your name so that we can come back and discuss it with you, because we can't address it if we don't know who you are. Sorry, Ken. Susan's hand has been up. So should we add those questions to the survey? Personally, I think that's too broad. I don't think so. If we go to the Vander Blumen process and through that launch process and defining who our church is and what kind of pastor we're looking for, if we can't decide, then maybe that's a step. But I don't think we should be doing that through a church survey. That's a pretty deep question, but. But it's not my decision. The board can correct me on that in about 20 minutes. So. Somebody else. Ken. So the question is, if we get a pastor, or when we get a pastor, not if, when we get a pastor, are we going to provide benefits? You know, it's not something we've never done before. It's certainly an issue in negotiation of salaries. Vanderbloom, and another attractiveness of them is they have an extensive database of what a salary should be. They have some tax law understanding that I never heard before. We'll have to validate it independently with our own accountant, of course. But there are some things we can offer a pastor that I didn't know about that are non-taxed above and beyond whatever salary we give them. So their net is higher than just a straight salary. So we're going to look into those kind of things. And if Vander Blumen has somebody out there who can offer a single employee benefits plan that's affordable to us, maybe we'll do that.
You know, we don't want to maybe get somebody from Oregon or California because we've got to pay an expensive client. Maybe we want to try to stay, guess, like, what you say, Indiana or towards the east, or I guess something. I guess that's what he said last week.
Yeah. Right. So that is comments about searching close so we have less expenses on the costs of bringing a pastor candidate in. I mean, there's pros and cons, and in the end, you know, we're not going to bring someone in from Oregon or California if a really good qualified candidate is next door. I mean, we're going to go through that vetting through that further refining process after Vander Blumen brings us the candidates. It was nice to hear them say they'd search locally, but we also, and they're going to do it in a different way that hopefully brings forth some candidates that we haven't heard from. We haven't reached out to any active pastors in the pulpit and said, hey, are you happy where you're at? Would you consider a change? We haven't done that. You know, we're advertising at the seminaries. We don't want someone fresh out of seminary. We want someone who can step up to a teaching position and who's had some pulpit time as a lead pastor, preferably. And that's the kind of person they're going to be looking for. So that was Ken's question.
I just have an observation. That, now, Vander Blumen has a certain amount of money that he can spend on
Yeah, hopefully our attitudes of grace and openness to working with someone will match our Bible knowledge. because we have, you know, had good teaching, and we do have people here with good Bible knowledge. But that's all part of the search. That's part of the criteria that we lay out at the beginning with whether we do it ourselves or through Vander Blumen, and that's part of the search criteria. Charlie. Well, the question is, how often do we find a conflict with our doctrinal statement when we interview someone? Never, because they don't make it to the interview if there's a conflict with our doctrinal statement. But, AJ.
We have we've gone through quite a few phone call interviews where we follow up on their answers to some questions, and oftentimes that's when we weed out something that's not clearly stated in there. So we've gone through a number of candidates where the way they've written it, it's not clear. And so, you know, Garth will call and follow up, and we find out right away, oh, yeah, they don't agree with us. We're done. And he lets them know, at this point, we don't think that you'd be a good fit for us, and we push them to the side. So that process happens very early on. By the time we get to in-person interviews and we have the candidate and their spouse there, they've already passed the qualifying mark for all of our doctrine.
Yeah, those are really tough conversations to have. Garth was telling me about there's a guy down in North or South Carolina, and financially he really needed the job. I mean, he wanted to come up, he wanted to move that week and be here the next Sunday, and sorry, just, you know, wasn't a good fit. Wait a minute, there's too many hands. Who else had their hand up and didn't get answered? Mary Lou. Yeah. So Mary Lou's comment was, are we really to get ready to get back engaged as a congregation? If someone comes in and that's the direction it goes and you're led to get back involved, then that's great. I don't know that it'll ever be compulsory. It'll be. Do I love it? Am I going to be out there, or do I want to do something else that evening? Do I have my own Bible study? We'll be as straight as possible with any candidate that this is where we're at today, and we're not promising you that if you want to do a Sunday night, we'll be there, or Wednesday night, we'll be there. It'll be what God wants, not what any pastor wants, and it won't be compulsory. So, Karen's hand was up.
Sunday mornings, they might need a Sunday night service or Wednesday night, something that they can
come to for the fellowship, whether because they can't get to Sunday morning. There are other scenarios that might inherit that. Whether you can go to all those doesn't matter. It's whether somebody else might need those to meet their scripture needs.
Can't repeat all of that, but good points. And if it happens, then there's a need. If there's no need, then it won't happen. So, Susie or Al, somebody had their hand up. We've got 10 minutes, and you know, my wife made lots of baked oatmeal, so let's wrap this up. So. No, we want to answer your questions, and you'll have the opportunity on the survey to ask you other questions, Dan. Good question. They were very clear. It's what we offer, and we will give them an estimate, which they'll do their first month's billing on, and the billing is spread over 6 months. So we'll give them an estimate, that plus the $5,500 of travel and expense charges that they estimate will be put into a first billing for us. By the end of that launch meeting, where the consultant comes in and meets with us and helps us define who we want as a pastor, we will work on salary. And if our estimate was off from what we agreed to in that first meeting, then they will adjust the next 5 invoices. But it will not be based on John's salary. It'll be based on what we estimate we're going to pay in the future. So. Al?
I think very little actually stated our vision right now, whether we want to admit it or not. Our vision has been that we come here for teaching and we work outside the church, which is the opposite, minister, whatever you want to say, which is the opposite of most churches where the focus of the ministry is in the church. The focus of our ministry has always been in the community, but not as a church per se, but as individuals, like Mary Lou was talking about, and that's a fundamental change that we as a congregation, I think, have to be clear about our vision. First of all, which one of the two options we want to go, and then we have to communicate that clearly to the pastor. Otherwise, you're going to have a conflict with the pastor potentially right off the bat.
Correct. Yep. We need to define who we are as a church and make sure that's part of the search process. And it's very important, or else we'll regret not doing it. So, Sue.
Well, that was my question last week to them on mindset, because it seems like a lot of pastors are going to come in. The mindset is that we have to get the community involved into the church. And this church has always been people coming in from all over the place, sometimes an hour or 2 hours away, to get teaching and then going out with that teaching. And that's why our kids are here.
Yeah, if you didn't get that from him, then he must not have understood. I mean, I don't remember that specifically. There were a lot of good questions and answers last week, and so anybody else? Burning question.
Maybe something to add to that paper is what are we willing to commit to the inside of the church? Willing to teach Sunday school, willing to substitute.
Yeah, that's
what key with us who are in these walls right now.
Right. Yeah. What Susie's comment is it's important to know what we as members are willing to put forward to this church and in the future teaching, you know, whatever we decide to do. And that's part of the survey. So. Karen.
A
what?
A burning rhetorical question.
Rhetorical, okay.
Because the search committee is doing a great job with what
The only one we've invited and he's turned us down. Sorry, AJ, do you want to answer that? So the question was, what would make someone turn us down or not want to come here?
Well, or,
okay.
Do you fully understand?
Do you want me to answer?
What would attract the pastor to come to our church? Do you really know what that is?
So if we look at the four times we've gone to the point where we like a candidate, we like them to come in. The first time we had three candidates to work with. We liked a candidate. He already had a job by the time we had gotten back into the negotiation portion of things. So the other two candidates in that three-person group were dismissed as not what we were looking for. Number two got down to the last point, and there was some issues where he didn't understand what he needed to make in order to continue the same lifestyle. I mean, he had nine kids, so there's a lot going in there. So we were unable to meet his needs because we didn't understand his needs when we started off the conversation. And then some poor wording really led to the degradation of that relationship on his part. Number three, we got to the end with that candidate, and the search committee felt at that point in time that he was not a good fit for our church. So all three we had rejected up until that point. In June of this year, we had a candidate that we liked, and the candidate rejected us, and it's the first time that's happened, getting through all that process and then finding out the candidate is not interested. And his position was that he has four kids. He has a wife with medical needs, and the wife with medical needs, we have no medical benefits of any kind, and that would be a major challenge. He's already making well above what we would be able to pay. And add to that his four kids are in a church environment where they have peers, where they're in healthy relationships with their peers in a biblical setting, and they'd be coming to a church where there are no peers in their age brackets. So they'd be interacting with one another. And I don't know if you've ever gone on a family vacation. By the end of it, you hate your brother. Or for me, it was my brother. So by the end of being in with my family all the time, my brother and I were always at odds. So he didn't want to do that to his children. And that was the biggest thing that he said. And he actually had a very nice letter to us about our process, what was good, what was bad. And we took that in and kind of absorbed it, said, how can we improve our process? But for him, it really did come down to protecting his family, which is his first job, I mean, as a husband. So.
Thank you, AJ. Okay. Anybody else? No, your vote is in the survey. Yeah. There's other things in the survey that, you know, we'll synthesize and review at the board meeting, which is October 16th. And then what we do with the other stuff is, you know, we'll decide after seeing the results. But your agreement or disagreement to support the expenses of hiring Vanderblumen is part of the survey. So.
So the rest of it should be everybody, but just Vanderblumen should be.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. If anyone's a regular attendee here and they're not a member, I mean, feel free to do the survey, but the vote for Vanderblumen as a budget item is for members. So, Mary Lou. It's all God. Yep. It's the only reason I can be up here and do any of this. So if I could have the board members meet in the ladies' Sunday school class and everyone else go down and enjoy fellowship time, then we will do our best. Unless we have a non-agreement, we will do our best to pass out a survey at the end of, after Bob Reed is done. We'll pass out the survey, you take it home with you, and then we'll email it to people who weren't here. So, thank you.